the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Hoddle. Enrique to Maradona. Different class. Different class! When they talked about the great players of World Championship football, this man will be on a pedestal.
Jimmy McGee's famous less is more commentary of Maradona's second goal against England in the 1986 World Cup, one of the greatest goals of World Cup history. And Maradona, one of the greatest footballers of all time, definitely the best footballer of his generation, passing away today at the age of 60. Reports in Argentina suggesting that he suffered a cardiac arrest this morning. Maradona had been recuperating at home following a recent operation to remove a blood clot to his brain. That was last week. The 60-year-old led his country to the World Cup in 1986. And won two Serie A titles and the UEFA Cup during his time with Napoli. He was also the world's most expensive player when he moved from Argentina to Barcelona. To discuss this, we will be talking to Miguel Delaney, the chief football writer of The Independent, in a few minutes' time. But we're joined first by Mark Lawrenson, a former Ireland international and former European Cup winner with Liverpool. Mark, when we look back on Maradona, definitely one of the all-time greats of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. No argument. There will always be an argument. Was he the best? But I think, as you rightly said, he was definitely the best of his generation. I remember two things about him, which would have been that England played against Argentina in a friendly at Wembley, and my roommate at Liverpool, Phil Neal, was playing for England that day, and he just came back and he said, "Wow, we just played against this kid," and said he was unbelievable. So that was the first real sighting of him. Certainly in Britain. And the other one, and Gary Lineker will always tell this story, which was obviously when the Hand of God goal, which everybody knows, Peter Shilton and all those kind of things. Gary Lineker said, so, all right, whatever, you know, he cheated. He said, if you actually watch the second goal, the unbelievably brilliant individual goal, he said, just think of this. He said, the pitch had been relayed. He said, and most of the turf moved when you ran on it. And now if you watch that goal now and think about that every time he ran, the pitch was actually moving, it becomes even better.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, obviously, you know, people talk about the hand of God, but the second goal is, for my money at least, Mark, the best goal ever scored at a World Cup.
Yeah, I don't think it's too many arguments. And I think, you know, people, you know, I think he was only about 5'4", you know, massive legs, unbelievably strong. He kind of invited tackles and road tackles. Wasn't particularly successful at Barcelona. It didn't really kind of work out for him, his first move from South America. But when he went to Napoli, people of that generation and that age will tell you that they thought that virtually single-handedly he brought the first Scudetto, the title, to Napoli. And he was absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, and he was, problem was as well, he was obviously mad off the pitch. And, you know, you have to think that... No, it's unfortunate of his passing, but he did bring an awful lot on himself, I think, as everybody's well aware now.
Yeah, in many ways, probably his career could have been more lengthy if it hadn't been for his demons and, you know, falling into Class A drug use and all that didn't help towards the end of his career. When potentially, you know, he could have still been a player in a different role, maybe dominating games in a different way to how he did in the 80s if he'd looked after himself a bit better.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. But, you know, he really was, and as stupid as this sounds, he was a god in Argentina. He really seriously was. And I think the other thing as well, and which, you know, a lot of people wouldn't realise, that, you know, he was kicked every single minute of every single match he ever played in generally. And I think in the end, all that caught up with him, and then obviously he was trying to find a way around of getting himself fit without actually training, etc., etc. But I mean, you know, you read the papers tomorrow, read, you know, the radio tonight, watch the TV, etc. This fella, generally at his time and of his time, was the best player in the world, bar nobody.
I remember watching the documentary which came out about 18 months ago about him, and some of the footage in it was spectacular. And like that with Maradona, his warm-up was not shuttle runs across the pitch. He generally just juggled with the ball. And one of the most captivating ones was him kicking the ball halfway up into the air, it just coming back casually onto his chest, controlling it, flicking it back over his head. I saw another piece of video where he was able to juggle with a golf ball. When they talk about natural talent, this is a guy who was absolutely blessed.
Yes. Yes, and also some players will tell you that, before a lot of the massive World Cup games, you'd be sat in the dressing room, but literally sat on a bench and just keeping the ball up with both feet and having a general conversation chin wag with everybody. And they just said, the ball never left his foot. It never fell on the floor, and he kind of looked at him and thought, oh, my goodness, this fellow is some kind of superhero.
When we talk about the potential days of mourning that will take place in Argentina, I'm sure in southern Italy, in Napoli, there'll probably equally be days of mourning as well, because Maradona has always been a cult hero, understandably, given those two Scudetto victories when Napoli were not a fashionable club when he moved there, and winning the UEFA Cup too.
Not only were they not fashionable, they were average. It took him quite a while, I think, before generally he got them as near possible to his level as would have been, and they didn't start particularly well. But if you're looking at footage, look at the pitches, look at the state of the pitches, etc., referees, tackling, all those kind of things, and he just brushed everything off, and he just got on with it, and the fitter he got over there, the better he got. And I mean, basically, as I said to you before, that you can't obviously win anything single-handedly if you're playing a team game, but he is near as damn it came to doing that.
And Laura, just before I let you go, in terms of not getting to play against him, was that a relief or a disappointment that you never got to share a pitch with the great Maradona?
Well, disappointment, because you could always lie and say you had him in your pocket, couldn't you, if people didn't remember. But no, disappointment. I think he played in Dublin, I'm pretty sure. And I think we, as in the Liverpool lads, myself, Ronnie Whelan, maybe Jim Begley, might have been on a tour with Liverpool somewhere. But I'm almost certain that Argentina played in Dublin, but unfortunately just wasn't there. I didn't even see any of the footage either.
Yeah, I think they did in the late 70s. I'm pretty sure I've heard John Giles tell that story before, that they came over, before the 78 World Cup and played a couple of friendlies in Dublin. And he got to play against Maradona because he picked him in his best ever team to play against. Mark Lawrenson, thanks a million for joining us. We've got Miguel Delaney, the chief football writer at The Independent, with us as well. And he's been penning a piece on Maradona in the last hour after his sad passing at the age of 60. Miguel, we've lost an icon of football here.
Oh, yeah, and perhaps the greatest player to ever have played. I mean, that's subjective. It's a debate that ultimately comes down to how people feel as much as anything. But I think that's what most stands out about Maradona as well. It was really the way he made people feel when he played. And if you look at it, I mean, over the next few days, we're going to see the reaction, particularly in Argentina, where they've just declared 3 days of national mourning, and Naples. And I really can't think of a sporting figure that will inspire the intensity of emotion that Maradona will. But of course, even whatever he meant to the people of Argentina and Naples, because of the 1986 World Cup, because of the Serie A titles in 1987 and 1990. I mean, I was, six or seven for the 1990 World Cup. And I think many people watching football across that era will feel the same. But, I mean, I'd struggle to think of a more kind of fantastical or otherworldly figure or sporting figure in history as he was at that time. Like, he was just impossibly exotic. And I mean, some of that, of course, was to come down to the fact we don't have, so much football at our fingertips in the way we do now. We can watch so many Champions League games, so many international leagues. But even still, it was just that, I think, that elusive mastery of football and that, iconography about him. They just elevated above almost anyone in football. But the only person in sport, I think, you could really compare to him in that regard, in terms of his social impact as much as his sheer talent, is probably Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, because I think when it comes to Maradona as well, it's an interesting point you raise, because understandably people may have read about Maradona, and particularly in the English press, I think when he came over to play a few friendlies with Boca Juniors, that may have been kind of the only time they would have heard about him. Not like now, where footage is available of every player on YouTube all the time. The World Cup was probably the time when a lot of people would have sat down in 1986 particularly and have been bewildered by this guy's skill.
Oh yeah, completely. And I mean, there's a story that actually sums this up almost, kind of just that status he had and like just the way he was seen, which is 4 years on from 1986. And 1986 was, of course, probably, his great work, whatever you want to call it, his masterpiece for the way he dominated a single World Cup more than any player in history, and almost single-handedly won it on his own, pun unintended, despite the 80s quarterfinal, as Laro said there. But 4 years later, because of 86, and he was perhaps at his absolute peak as a player, before the 1990 final, and I think I mean some of this footage is itself so memorable when he just started juggling the ball on the pitch beforehand, and almost an incredible display of what he could do with the ball in just the most idle settings. But in the tunnel for that game, they're about to play Cameroon for the opening game, defending champions Argentina. Some of the Cameroonian players saw him, and there's two of them in particular, Alphonse Yombi and Roger Futma, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but they just saw Maradona in the tunnel and just started crying out of the kind of the idea that they were on the same pitch as him, which I think kind of, I mean, that's something that's almost impossible to imagine now, but I think it just sums up just the way he was seen then and the status he had.
It's kind of another worldly quality as well. I remember watching the documentary when it came out about 18 months ago, and okay, it's heavily stylized and the music helps and the cinematography helps, but Maradona's own skill helps to sell that documentary by itself.
Oh yeah, completely. And it just the luscious way it's filmed, the way it kind of, you know, it teases out, the way he almost teases the ball. And I think this is the thing when you watch the clips of now, I've just been writing it for The Independent. I mean, like, personally, and I suppose this is because I've had the privilege to watch him play and cover him, I would have always had Messi ahead of him. But even allowing for that, I mean, that's again a whole other debate and doesn't even feel kind of appropriate right now. But even for allowing for that, when you watch the clips of Maradona, I've never seen a player where the ball felt so organic, an extension of his body. And that's what really stands out about some of those clips from 86 as well, where he's just going on these 40-yard runs. And the ball just seems to so fluidly stay with him. To the point it's almost imperceptible and impossible for defenders to stop. And I think, as Laurel mentioned there as well, I mean, in the wider debate about, you know, his overall legacy and who's the greatest, that, I mean, it really can't be overstated the difficulty here he was playing in. You know, the pitches were terrible, and just it was so much more of a free-for-all in terms of the laws of the game, where a much wilder element of tackling was allowed. And, like, let's not, I mean, what he should have been at his peak, really, at Barcelona in the early 80s. You know, he was put out of the game for months because of a savage tackle from behind from Andoni Gugicea, of the sort of tackle that you just wouldn't see in today's games. So, I mean, as well as that, I mean, people, will, I suppose, will always talk about 86 above anything else. But it was maybe the achievements in Napoli that stand out all the more, because this was essentially a provincial club in Italy. They'd only ever won one league title before that. You know, and it's actually impossible to think about this now. Or sorry, it's something that just wouldn't be possible now, where one of the undoubted world stars goes to a club outside the elite in that way. It just wouldn't happen. And if you look at the kind of the circumstances the modern greats play in, like Messi at Barcelona, Ronaldo at Juventus, they're all surrounded by these super squads, you know, and a level of talent that wasn't really possible in Maradona's time, where I think the football world is much more democratic in terms of the way the talent was much more spread out. And I suppose the consequence of that was that Maradona was often playing with players of a much lower level of him. And I think because of that, and the way he elevated Napoli to two titles at a time when Juventus were such an incredible power, I mean, Liam Brady had won a title with him, to be superseded by Michel Platini there. But what Maradona did almost stands out all the more, to drag a club like that up to such a level.
An absolute icon, and may he rest in peace. Miguel Delaney, many thanks for joining us on The Last Word this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.